This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor super fan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Baseball. Bruce Levine.
It's great to talk some baseball.
Score Baseball Insider, covering the Cubs and White Sox for more than 30 years.
Bruce Levine is a newsbreaker.
Inside the Clubhouse co-host.
Great being with you, talking baseball.
Bruce Levine.
That's a really good question, Bruce.
See, Bruce asked the first hard question.
With Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always a delight to talk to our dear friend Bruce Levine, and he joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, new tires for spring. Check them out, aturo.com. Bruce, how are you, buddy?
Guys, I'm excited. I'm really excited with, just a few days to go and balmy weather. Well, maybe not balmy weather, but, we'll be ready for it. We're Chicago tough here, so bring on the baseball season.
It's freezing, Bruce. It's not balmy anything. It's like 33 degrees outside.
Wah, wah.
Oh, yeah. There we go. That's the gauntlet thrown
Aren't
at your
you
feet.
From Indiana, David?
It's 51 on Thursday. Does that sound like balmy?
I would say that's a great opening day.
It is. That's
March.
Warmer than you'd expect, right?
Okay.
Come on. We've had 11 degrees in snow on opening days before. So, come on. It's all good.
Give them the dust and say it. Say.
When they build a dome downtown for the White Sox, the White Sox will have a dome at some point in the next 3 years, and you'll be able to stay warm, David.
Okay. Wow. I look forward to those days.
Bruce. I like it.
All right, Bruce, so the bad news over the weekend for the White Sox, I think you feared, if you were following this all along, Drew Thorpe will undergo Tommy John surgery, missed the season. So the centerpiece of the Dylan Cease trade now will not be available until 2026 at the earliest, and even at that stage, you're not quite sure what you will get. How big of a blow is this to the White Sox in terms of this season, but also long term in terms of their development?
Well, long term, it's an extra year, and it is a blow. I mean, they expected him to be a part of the rotation at some time for sure this year coming back, and he had been dealing with a flexor issue. When you hear flexor issue, you always think elbow down the way, and that was the case certainly here with Thorpe. Look. Power arms, even Thorpe, who was really not a 97, 98 mile an hour guy, but more of a 93 with a changeup. It's a different game these days. You have to expect these injuries. And that's why the White Sox, you know, they have some interesting arms, but, you know, there's no depth there. And,
right.
and that's a real concern for the season.
They just picked up another Rule 5 guy. Now they got two potentially in their rotation. And I'm not down on that, but that speaks volumes about their roster having two Rule 5 guys.
Yeah, it does. And you know, you got the two big left-handers that are coming, and, you know, they're going to be probably in the minor leagues most of the year, but maybe up toward the end of 2025. It's just, you know, it's hard to project what they're going to be able to do with their rotation and how they're going to win games. You know, will they lose games early this year? You know, will there be a lot of, you know, crooked numbers by the opposition in early innings? You know, getting guys by three or four innings, it's going to be a key. So, you know, it's really tough to project. On the other side, there's great chances for good stories and guys that White Sox fans have never heard of before.
So, Bruce, we've had a lot of conversation in the last year or so over the White Sox medical training and conditioning staffs and the turnover or the changes within the organization. And I'm just curious. I sincerely want to know if they're exploring this. I'm not casting blame or doubt on the way people are doing their jobs, but after having six prospects undergo Tommy John surgery in a short period of time, I wonder how much of that bears examination by the organization and if they see it in the same way.
Didn't the White Sox do that 5 years ago?
I'm not sure. I mean, tell me. I don't remember that.
Well, Alan Thomas was fired as their trainer after 25 years. Herm Schneider was basically retired after, 40 years with the team. So they went through this once before. And, again, if you look at any organization and you wonder, the Braves somehow over the last three or four years have been able to survive Tommy John surgeries to some of their top pitchers and still be a playoff-bound team. So I don't think you look at the excuse of trainers and of medical staff to the reality of young guys are just going to blow out. It's an industry-wide bad problem. So are the White Sox having their share of it right now? No question about it. I just don't think it's a medical staff or a trainer issue with the White Sox.
So then, Bruce, I mean, I'm just being honest. I think we've been, you know, you have told me now for a couple of years, keep an eye on the pitching. The pitching's on the way. You know, Mason Adams goes down after we see Drew Thorpe go down. And I'm thinking to myself, like, is their whole plan building pitching and using young guys, is that all doomed to be multiple Tommy John surgeries? We're waiting on a couple of great left-handers. Is there somehow a contagion going on with Tommy John among their prospects?
It's just an inevitability. We had Doug Glanville on Inside the Clubhouse on Saturday, and we talked about injuries to young pitchers and the way that young pitchers are developed. And the key is guys are drafted that are throwing 98 to 100. They're getting to the major leagues within 2 years. They're blown out within 2 years after that. Their careers sometimes go the other way. This is just the way that baseball has dealt with it. They must teach pitching in the minor leagues. They have to go away from velocity. It's not working for the long term. In the short term, some teams are having success. Then they're all gone. I mean, you know, name a lot of power arms, 98 to 100 in bullpens, that stay there for years. It just doesn't happen. So, you know, the Josh Haders are few and far between in baseball.
So, Bruce, today The Athletic comes out with their power rankings, 1 through 30, and the White Sox are 30th. And when you look at what to expect beginning Thursday, Sean Burke on the mound did not have a good final start in Arizona. I just wonder, when you look at your projections, and I heard all your predictions on Saturday with Inside the Clubhouse, that was good stuff. Is this going to be a season that feels longer than last year?
Wow.
It really could. really could, for different reasons. And we've talked about it all spring training long, from the time I went to Mesa in early February, and I was on your show, I think, just about every day all spring to the time they went to Japan. The idea here is that you just don't know what type of roster it's going to be. They're still checking out second base, third base. They have some veterans in the outfield. I mean, it's just hard to really get a grasp on whether or not this team can do better than losing. I mean, if I said to you guys right now, the White Sox lose 99 games, would you say that's a terrific year for the Chicago White Sox?
You'd take it.
I would honestly say that's not possible, because I think they're on the – here's my problem, Bruce. With your pitching staff, you don't really have any known entity starters. So how long do they go? And how taxed will the bullpen be? And how many of those guys are going to go through injuries and all the rest? You know what I'm saying? Like, I just – and I don't even – like, I know Clevinger is going to be the closer. I don't even know if you need a closer. I mean, I'm not being mean. It worries me.
Well, again, you get nervous because there just aren't a lot of people that you know anything about, right?
Yeah.
So with that in mind, you know, will five or six of these players that we don't know all that well shine and be – decent major league players? There's certainly going to be a lot of opportunities there. Again, last week I told you guys, and I think I'll tell you that again over the next 3 days, keep your eye on the waiver wire. They picked up Vassell from Philadelphia. Yeah. He's automatically, you know,
has,
I mean,
to make
yesterday,
the team.
Yesterday Venable said, hey, you know, he's built up to three innings, and you know, they're looking around for viable guys that they can get some innings out of and stock the minor leagues with some as well. It's a little bit of a scary proposition for the White Sox.
Dane Dunning is one of those players out there. He has familiarity with the organization, and likewise, Bruce, he was waived or designated for assignment by the Rangers. Will Venable would know him from his Texas connection. Does that seem like the kind of guy that would fit your profile?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, same thing with, you know, Chris Getz, knowing him from his previous time in the organization with the White Sox. So, I mean, there's a lot of guys like that. I mean, if the, you know, teams like the Cubs or the Guardians, they drop people here over the next few days, you're going to have to be looking at that. I mean, you know, Keller of the Cubs, if he doesn't make the team, does he go back to the White Sox, right? Is he more of a viable guy than maybe two or three of the guys that are already in the rotation? We're just going to be watching a lot of this.
Yeah. I hate, Dave is going to get mad at me for bringing this up, but are you concerned about a hangover factor from Japan for the Cubs? I'm not saying that's probably, he believes if we mention it, we're somehow doing ill to
it. Speaking
everyone.
Into existence.
Yeah, but I just wonder if you are concerned about it, that's all.
I am, and when it comes to Imanaga, who councils told us was under the weather yesterday, and is going to be backed up all the way to the third start of the season. I mean, you know, he's your ace, right? I mean, you know, there's nothing wrong with Steele. He's outstanding, but he's been behind, you know. So they have a couple of guys. You know, Steele was coming back from an illness. He didn't look all that great in Japan. You're worried about that. You're worried about Imanaga right now when they say, hey, he's backed up. He's going to do no more Cactus League games, no more spring games. We'll see you the third game of the season. So there's things to worry about always.
He's not skipping a start, and he's pitching once every 5 days. I understand.
You sure about that?
What? He's not going to pitch once every 5 days?
Why is he the third starter right now?
Well, why? Because I don't think you're skipping him in the rotation. You're giving him time to recover. I understand that. But this should be the end of that. This should be you're closing the door on that possibility that he's going to have this linger, because he pitches once every 5 days. Shouldn't he not be able to recover from a long trip It wasn't that long.
Well, you know, maybe they all need a vacation. You know, maybe a couple days in Scottsdale. Oh, they are in Scottsdale.
They're right in Arizona. but I think that those moves are understandable. Yeah, but Bruce, how do you feel?
Hurt. Okay, he's not hurt. So that's the good news.
That's the good news.
Right. What? So he's recovering from some illness that they didn't exactly say what it was. But
how about Mookie Betts recovering? Did you see that story? He's still throwing up. They've been back for a while. He's got
a virus, though.
No, but he said that he got up in the morning, had breakfast, came to work, and just had to go to the bathroom and throw up.
Yeah. It's
scary.
It is, and they are really impacted. How?
Well, yeah. they might only win 105 games now. So, Bruce, let's talk about the Cubs rotation again, because beyond Imanaga, the fourth spot belongs to Matthew Boyd, who had a pretty good spring. He was dominant in Tokyo, looked dominant then yesterday, showed some flashes, gave up a couple solo homers, but I don't think the Cubs sounded worried. My curiosity surrounds the fifth spot and what they're looking for out of Ben Brown. As a bulk guy, as a fifth starter, a spot starter, what do you envision for that?
I think he's got a great chance to be the fifth starter with Ray going back to the bullpen. You know, Colin Ray is a great Swiss Army knife for the Chicago Cubs, who has pitched well in bullpen times and as a starting pitcher in his major league career. I talked to him at length about his role, and he said, you know, talking to counsel and to Hoyer before he signed, he said, I understand that I'm going to be used in multiple roles, and I'm all good with it. I'm here to win, and that's how I'm looking at this thing. So Brown with the power arm is the ideal thing for the Cubs, right? He's got that nasty knuckle curve. He's got a fastball, and he's been working on a changeup all spring long. He's been pushing that in there. Having that one power arm in the rotation, I think, is key, because everybody else throws 92 to 93. And to have Brown in there and be able to separate those games on the road and when they're playing a three-game series, I think that's really important.
I want to go back quickly to the White Sox, if I could. I'm just curious. Brandon Drury was one of the really good, happy storylines that came out of camp, and it was like, wow, look at this guy. He's recaptured his form from a couple years ago. He's leading him in the RBIs with 11. He's second in homers, and now he's cut. He injures his thumb. Now, the guy's like 32, so I guess I understand they're going with younger players, but, man, that's cold.
It's cold, but, you know, there's, you know, from people I talked to yesterday, there, you know, there's opportunity for him to come back, right? So he's got to get reevaluated on this thumb, how long it's going to be. We don't know, you know, how long he's going to be out at this point. So it was the right thing to do, because, you know, you have to put him on the roster, major league salary. So with that in mind, he's out for now. The whole oddity of the White Sox, just the entire 26-man roster, is so strange to even look at on a daily basis. Because, you know, as we mentioned just a few minutes ago, guys are coming from other teams and automatically finding spots on the 26-man team, right? I mean, it's just
and Bruce, they
strange.
Like they Will Venable was asked about his starting lineup, and he basically said, "Well, we're going to need another day, 2 days, 3 days. We'll let you know.
Wake up Thursday and fill it out."
That's exactly right. So, like we were talking, we know Colson Montgomery is in the minor leagues. So who's the starting shortstop? Do we even know? Because the guy you thought was going to start also has an injury. Yes. Not him. You know, no, the other guy. Who's Josh Rojas?
Rojas. Yeah.
Right. He's got an injury now.
Mydroth, you know, I've been told is the clear-cut favorite because of his defense. He hasn't hit very well in spring training, if you put any credence into that. But, you know, again, I asked one of the people in the organization, is Nicky Lopez on your...
Wow.
You know, and they said, no, we're not going back. That we love Nicky while he was here, but we don't think that's the way to go. So, you know, guys like Baldwin, who played some shortstop last year, going to get a chance. Again, the thing that we point out one more time is there's guys on other teams' rosters that are not going to make the
that
team
are going to be starters here. Yeah.
They're going to be starters for the White Sox. So they're going to be on that 26-man roster come Thursday on opening day at the Raid.
So Bruce, when you look at the Cubs, back to them, Nico Horner made his debut on Friday. Yeah. Is it realistic to think that he will be in the lineup Thursday night in Arizona? And what version of Nico Horner will we see?
Well, you hope you see a version that is able to play second and short. And that's what Council said from the beginning. When we rehab him, when he's ready to go, we want to make sure that he can play shortstop as well as second base. What does that mean? I mean, it's a little convoluted because you have a shortstop that plays 155, 160 games in Swanson, but they don't really want him to do that anymore. They want him to be available at his very optimum at maybe 145, 150 games. So with that in mind, you wonder, you know, does Horner, when he does come back, play 15 to 20 games at shortstop this year as well?
Wow.
And or are they still having him out there, you know, and is he still trade bait for the Cubs after we heard it all winter long?
Boy, Mr. David just frowned.
I just frowned, Bruce. Do not like that idea. He's my favorite Cub, and I think that you need that guy in your lineup.
He's a really good ball player. But, you know, the one thing he doesn't do is slug. So, therefore, in a Craig Council lineup, you're not going to see him at the top of the order. We did see Pete Crow Armstrong yesterday leading off.
Thank you.
You know,
that's what David's looking for.
I mean, it's just...
And Hap's going to do it, though, once the season starts, right?
He is, and he's shown that he's really good at it. But ideally, you know, Pete Crow Armstrong is a game changer from the beginning of a game on. If he can show Council and the rest of the people with the Cubs that he can indeed be an on-base guy and walk enough to have a 340, 350 on-base percentage and be a viable part of the OPS that Council is looking for from his top four or five guys.
Hey, look, we agree.
This great stuff for us. Always fun. And
guys,
and you're always agreeable, for God's sake.
We end on a positive. Way to go, Bruce.
I'm not always agreeable with your partner.
No, that's true. That's so true. We'll get to that later. Thanks, Bruce.
All right, buddy. Take care,
guys.
Yep.
That is Bruce Levine. That is fun stuff because it's right around the corner.
Right around the corner.
It's so good to see.
Are people excited about opening day in Chicago?
Oh, I mean, I know tons of people going to the opener. I think they'll get tons of people. Are you talking about the White Sox?
I just think in general.
I think that you should be.
Last Tuesday was
Thursday
fun.
Night's going to be tough.
It was a novelty.
Fun.
It was they were in Japan. It was a kind of a vacation.
Did it count?
It didn't feel like it because they were back in Arizona playing games that didn't matter this weekend, which was very odd.
Including today, right? There's a game today.
Oh, including today. Thank you for... Yes. You know what? Way to mention that, Mully, because 255, Zach Zabin and Ron Coomer from Sloan Park and Mesa, Cubs and Braves. Cubs spring training games on the score, sponsored by Sloan, the leader in smart water and commercial restroom solutions.
You've always got that on the tip of your tongue. All right, we'll be right back. 312-644-6767. Mully and Haw on the score.
They call him the White Mike.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 the score. Had a fun day. We've been talking a lot about the tournament. I was telling Brandon during the break that I just don't know what I'm going to do with myself. There have been so many games. I got the Bulls. I can watch that. But you know what I mean? It's like you get into this every second. There's a game on, and you're just sitting in front of all this stuff. And now we got to wait.
Yeah, you got to wait till Thursday. Yeah. Bulls tonight, though.
Bulls tonight.
Baseball anticipation.
We are into baseball.
There's a lot of sports stuff to keep your mind occupied. Maybe not your attention is as focused on one thing as the tournament forces you to do or compels you to do. It doesn't force you to do anything, but you can't miss it. You don't want to miss a second. So John Shire yesterday, continuing the local admiration for the Duke head coach, the pride of Glenbrook North. And a local hoop legend, as Patrick Beverly called him, White Mike. Well, John Shire responded to the idea that he was once called White Mike at a press conference.
Viral clip this week of Patrick Beverly, who said, I want to quote him right, you never duck any smoke, and he called you White Mike back in the day. Given your resume, are there times you have to remind today's players and recruits about your resume back at Duke?
They completely have disregarded the fact that I played at all. You know, they think I did not play whatsoever. Isaiah last week, you know, there's a picture of me in my playing days, black and white picture. He said it wasn't photoshopped at all. Like, that's the way it was. So I asked our guys a couple days ago to call me White Mike. They refused. They're just going to call me Coach. But that's nice of Pat to talk about me that way. I mean, for me, I take a lot of pride in the city of Chicago and going wherever there was a game. You know, I would go there to play. So for him to talk about me that way, I'm not sure White Mike was the name, but I'll take it. I'll take it.
That's awesome. That's so funny. And so they then went to your guy, Cooper Flagg. Dustin, hashtag capture the flag, and they ran it by him.
What do you think about Shire's White Mike nickname?
I mean, I don't know if I would call that a nickname. I don't think anyone's ever actually called him that. I think it was a made up instance. But
Pat Bev said that's what they used to call him.
I don't think anybody actually. I mean, unless I see some proof of somebody calling him that, I'm gonna, you know. Not, so that's not his
name. Okay.
That's fun.
He needs proof.
That's fun. Cooper Flagg sounds like a kind of guy that does have a lot of fun playing and just he plays with that kind of joy. Yeah. He's got a good personality. He'd be quite the draft pick, you think.
You know what's funny is, have you seen the commercial of him with his grandmother playing bingo? And he's wearing his Duke uniform and he's high-fiving all the elderly people playing bingo. It's just, you know, it's a cute, a kind of fun little thing.
No doubt about it.
And John Shire.
John Shire, people, it wasn't that long ago. It was 2010. It was 2010 when John Shire, you remember who they beat in the final?
No.
Duke?
No.
Butler?
No.
Duke Butler.
Never happened.
In Indianapolis.
Is that the one where he missed the
yes!
shot?
That was the John Shire game.
No, but that was, what's his name? Gordon Hayward
almost rimmed it out.
I mean, holy God.
Boom.
If that shot had gone down, that would have been like the greatest upset, you know, kind of, that would have lived in tournament history.
It really would have.
Incredible.
It was the 61-59 final.
Wow.
That shot would have won it for Butler.
Holy cow.
And
late to the court, he just throws it up and he hits the iron.
Remember that? That was a great matchup. That was a great game. And I remember covering that feeling like, wow, this is as good as it gets in terms of the NCAA tournament. Because it was the Butler team that we may never see again, the mid-major
in the
final.
Cinderella.
Against big old Duke, the blue blood college basketball program.
Everyone despised him.
And John Shire was the leader of that team, the emotional leader, the floor leader.
Boy, but Butler was so much the story. And then they made another run the next year. They got right back.
That was the beginning of the Brad Stevens.
Without Gordon Hayward.
Essentially ascension, because then he would leave Butler and go to the Celtics to be the coach. Now he's an NBA championship winning
creator,
executive,
the creator.
But yeah, it's fun to hear John Shire talk like that and remember Chicago and always be able to find. He's and then he was a perennial candidate, you know.
Oh,
DePaul
no question.
Had an opening, he was involved, and I think we even speculated some other jobs in the area, and you wondered about that. But he's where he belongs, and his patience paid off, and he was the choice of Mike Krzyzewski, I believe. And it made a lot of sense. And now he is in a position, a good position, to win a national title. Duke looked as good as any team did over the weekend.
Our dear friend Corey McFerrin has never recovered from that missed shot. Ever.
Certainly the Butler program hasn't either.
No. Well, he made a big splash himself in college. He was a swimmer.
Corey, he was a swimmer. Right,
come on. Yeah. I'm just making a joke.
That's a very good joke.
Thank you, buddy. I knew you'd appreciate
it. I do.
When you finally got to it. I got to tell you that it's fun to have a guy like John Shire there who you feel fondly about, and they got a great team, and there's a Chicago connection, whether there is visual evidence of it or
we're
not.
We're looking for him because there are not a lot of others out there.
No.
There's not a lot of other local connections to this tournament.
Nope.
Unless we might be overlooking some. I'm sure there's some players on some. I think when you look at Michigan State, Jeremy Fears comes from Joliet West.
Right.
Now and his brother Jeremiah played for Oklahoma down the stretch. Porter Moser gave UConn all it could handle. That was a good, close,
tough game.
So the Fears brothers have made their impact on this tournament. And Jeremy still is alive with Michigan State, so you like to see him keep going. I don't know their other connections to Purdue. There are a lot of Purdue fans in Chicago, but I don't know if there are very many Purdue connections on that roster.
Trying to look for Chicago. I mean, you got Maryland a little bit with the Angel Reese brother.
Yeah, that's
true. You got Julian.
Chicago Sky.
But he's semi-quasi connection. He's one of the Crab Five. He's from Baltimore.
But his sister is a Chicago sports celebrity.
Now in Chicago.
Is the burger still there at McDonald's?
David can't stop eating them.
Well, I'm going to ask you. Maybe I should look at that for lunch. That sounds like a good lunch. Get a good workout here at the Pru Center and go find an Angel Reese burger. That's a good plan for today. Thanks, Brandon.
Did you ever get the chicken Caesar wrap I told you about?
I have not. I need to do that.
How many times I got to tell you?
Get all these lunches I need to get.
You've got a lot on your plate, pal.
And I don't mean lunch.
No. That was another food reference. Exactly. It's for Peoria Matt, that one.
But there aren't very many local connections. It's a little disappointing.
No, you're right. It just isn't.
So I think you can adopt Duke.
Well, you can adopt the NIT because Loyola plays Wednesday night. Huh?
Loyola-Bradley. That could be the final in the NIT, right?
They're at home. Well, Bradley plays, I think, Tuesday.
Okay.
And they're on a collision course. They could meet in the NIT. But we'll see. Loyola, very good at home, by the way.
Go Ramblers!
Thank you.
There you go.
So if I were you, not you, David, but you who's listening, I would call up and get some tickets to that game. They should fill that building. It's going
to
be great.
If only I knew
atmosphere.
A prominent alum who might be in line to get some tickets for that game.
Well, I feel like I got to get Stoney a ticket, and I got to go with him.
Why are you bringing Steve Stone into this? You
because
think
he went to Kent State. They're playing Kent State.
Yeah.
It's about, you know.
I'm the Mac guy.
What if you knew her and saw her dead on the ground?
What?
That's Stoney was there when Kent State happened. I mean, I think he had left and was in baseball camp, and he knew a student who was killed. Like when that song.
Tragic.
It's
and then
incredible.
The song, reference the song. The song so people know that you're referencing
the
a song.
The song
lyric.
Ohio
yeah.
by Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young
right.
comes out. Like literally, I think it was Neil Young walked outside, came up with the song. They recorded it, and it's like this happened, on a Tuesday. I don't know what the timeline was. By Friday, the song is out, and you know it's a great song. It's a really good song, and Loyola plays Kent State, so I'm referencing things that I shouldn't talk about.
And I think that at one point in time, didn't Kent State want to be referred to just as Kent because they did not want to have any reference to that?
Is that right?
That incident. Yeah.
And they're supermen, and so Clark Kent. What?
All I know is they came up short a couple Saturdays to the Ball State Cardinals. That's my memories of Kent State. They're good
Look
ones.
Look at you.
They're pretty good ones.
So you should probably, with your Mac pride, you should probably come with me to that Loyola game.
I'm not rooting against the Ramblers.
Thank
no,
you, buddy.
I have been there. I was on the bandwagon. I'm Team Sister Jean. I'm
you
all
are.
Those things.
You're
and,
a great man.
And I really like Drew Valentine. You know that.
I
tried to get him hired.
You're desperate to get him a different job.
Curious. So
you like him so much you want him out of town.
I don't want him out of town. I don't. He's a candidate. He's got to be a viable candidate, a good, successful coach in his 30s.
Yeah.
I wonder who's going to work, who's going to get the Villanova job. I'm curious who's going to get the Xavier job now. They're talking about bringing back Chris Mack, who left for Louisville. There's some good jobs out there. And
they love bringing back guys who left. Chris Mack can come in, you know, get his reputation back, built up, and then
leave.
Get a better job.
And leave like Sean Miller did?
Yeah.
Yeah, that bugged me.
I know it did.
But Villanova has some big names associated with that job. And you could look, and even Richard Pitino, I think, is the latest big name to be linked. You could see him leaving New Mexico after the fine year that they had there. This is the.
Is that right? Danny Wolf from Michigan is from Glencoe. Is that correct? Wow, I knew I liked that kid for a reason.
Oh, thank you.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Thank you. No, I was just saying that. That's keep an eye on the Villanova job, but I do like the. If there's a local connection like that, it makes it a little bit more interesting to follow.
I agree. Let's get rid of Auburn.
Get rid of Auburn.
Yeah.
That's another coach. I found myself over the weekend like finding these reasons not to root for these teams based on their coach.
Yeah, it's kind of
I don't
crazy.
Like that.
Yeah,
I don't like
crazy.
I don't like that instinct in me, but I'm not a big Bruce Pearl guy.
How do you put it? Like we watch the Big East and we see the struggles that they've had in the tournament. Is that related to the coaches that have left? There's so many great coaches in college basketball that kind of retired as NIL and a lot of the other stuff kicked in. Do you think, when you think of like the ACC or the Big East,
mm-hmm.
that the number of big name coaches who are out of programs reflects the failures of those conferences?
Without question. You look at what the ACC has lost.
Yes.
In terms of coaching.
Credible.
Clout.
Yep.
Jim Larranaga at Miami.
Yeah.
Leonard Hamilton at Florida State.
Uh-huh.
You look at, with
Syracuse,
due respect.
Aren't they? What's his name? Is that Big East?
Hubert Davis is a good coach, but he's no Roy Williams.
No, that's very true.
We're hoping locally that John Shire can elevate Duke to a national championship again.
Great players too.
But likewise in the Big East, you know, Rick Pitino. How about Pitino benching the Big East player of the year for the final 9 minutes or so?
Explain that. Why?
Well, RJ Lewis was not playing well.
But
he was two of something. He was terrible. Okay.
I don't know. I mean, they ran out of gas and they didn't have enough points. How do you take a guy that you've leaned on all year?
Final 5 minutes of the game, he sat on the bench.
Crazy.
Sat on the bench. And he was 3 for 17.
Yeah, I know.
And Pitino was salty. Salty after the game, being asked about that. He basically said, he chastised the reporter for asking and saying, you know why, like lecturing him. Okay, but to your point, even though you're 3 for 17, if he's Big East player of the year, you give him a chance to be 3 for 18.
Whose post-game saltiness was worse, him or the weepy UConn coach?
That's not even close. Danny Hurley was the most embarrassing coach in college basketball over the weekend, without a doubt.
Yeah, they'd have won that game, even though they were played honorably and it was a better team, had they gotten all the calls. It was the officials' fault. What a conclusion.
Danny Hurley must be, to be his boss, can you imagine how miserable that guy must be? Or female? I'm not sure who the athletic director is at UConn these days, but he has to be a difficult guy to manage.
What about his wife?
I don't know.
So you think he's bad for college basketball?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know that he's bad for college.
I think we got to get back into that tomorrow, maybe.
Yeah, maybe we'll pick that up.
I'm up for it. I don't like people who act like babies.
Let's spend some time.
He's immature. He's unprofessional. He has a good program, but I'll leave it at that. We have to break because we'll get back to it tomorrow.
We will talk to our colleagues.
That's a tease.
We will have, I believe it's a Layla Monday. Marshall Harris in the house.
Marshall Harris, Layla, Rahimi, they're here.
Yes.
We'll talk to them next.
Mully and Haw on the Score.
Coming up Thursday, 670 The Score and Yingling are celebrating the return of baseball on the South Side. Join Marshall Harris and Layla Rahimi live from 10 to 2 at Wings and Rings, 3434 South Halstead Street near the ballpark.
Join Layla Rahimi and me, Marshall Harris, before the game and make the newly remodeled Wings and Rings your South